Mizmor Samaches. Yesterday we did, Mizmor Samaches is divided into four sections. Okay, there are four sections where it says where it's Selah four times, which Mizmor Samaches is on page 572. 572. This is our third shiur on Mizmor Samaches. Just one moment, please. This computer is No, it's working. It didn't set up correctly. It's fine. Baruch Ata Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Shehakol Nehyeh B'dvaroi. Okay. Thank you, Mr. Cohen, for the coffee. It's not working, the computer. No, that's why I have to come early. Make sure I get the computer up. Let's see. Let's give you a half a second what we can do over here with this computer. It should be working. Let's try this again. Okay. Oh. Okay, now we're in business. Okay. After you all see Dr. Beanstalk.
Recording in progress.
Okay, so let's continue. Okay, so Mizmor, we have to have here Mizmor Samaches, Lamasech, what did we do yesterday? Yesterday we read the Pesukim, we learned the Pesukim, Lefi, the parish of the Mitzudos David, from Pasuk Aleph until the end of the first section, which is on Pasuk, which is on page 576. We learned the first eight Pesukim. And we also, on Friday, had a long Hakdama to explain what is the background to this Mizmor. Now, with that, we have already 2 days already of getting our getting into the sugya. Let's now learn the psukim again with Rashi. And as we touch upon the psukim, we'll end up anyway ending reviewing things that we learned, the important things that we learned. So the Mizmor again begins on page 572. Lamet sech l'dav lamnat seach l'david Mizmor shir. Yakum Elokim, may Hashem, may you rise up, Yafutsu Oyevav, scatter your enemy, Yafutsu, may his enemies be scattered, Yafutsu, may they be scattered, Oyevav, your enemies, may they be scattered, Vyanusu Misanov, and may his enemies, your enemies, may they flee. Okay, so we discussed this yesterday, and basically over here, we are saying over here that the enemies of the Jewish people are by definition the enemies of Hashem. Cannot separate, even though over here we're dealing with David, according to many of the commentators, that this Mizmor is dealing with battles that David has fought throughout his long career. David has fought many battles, and it's mice of a similar bottom, these battles are all mice of a similar bottom, different battles that the Jewish people have fought and will fight until the coming of Mashiach. And the first principle that the Mitzudei Stavid laid out, which is critical, is the pasuk over here is talking about David and his battles, and he's describing Hashem's enemies. And this we take for granted, but we can never emphasize this enough, is the enemies of the Jewish people are the enemies of Hashem. Whenever you see a nation in this world rise up or misbehave or do something insulting or harmful to the Jewish people, this is a milchemes Hashem. Whenever the United Nations condemns the state of Israel, which is, after everything is said and done, putting all politics aside, is a Jewish state, it is a condemnation of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Is a milchemes Hashem. Every time a guy, a nation, a head of state makes a declaration that is an insult to the Jewish people, they are openly declaring war against Hashem. A milchemes Hashem. And that presents a whole new level of chutzpah to go and, to go to war against Hashem. So that's that you saw it, it says in the Mitzudos, and you know someone will ask you, where does it say such a thing? It says in many places, but it's always at the moment it's always hard to find it, And here it's worthy to underline and emphasize this point. The Mizmor Samaches, Oivav, Oive Yisrael Nikroim, Oive Hamakom. The enemies of the Jewish people are the enemies of Hashem. It's a Milchemes Hashem. Okay, next. Now, Pasuk Gibel says, let's see over here the Rashi. One thing at the time, Rashi. Yakum Elokim, V'yafutsu Oivav, May Hashem, may you rise up, and may Oivav, may your enemies be scattered. It's very appropriate this week's parasha, Parashas Bahaloitzcha, Vayehi, Bin Soyah, Aroin, Vayoyim, Moshe, Kumo Hashem, V'yafutsu Oivach, V'yonusu, Misanecha, Miponecha. This week's parasha, we learn about war. We learn about it's a hashkacha pratis, the same exact theme of Hashem's enemies being scattered, being dispersed. And how are Hashem's enemies scattered and dispersed? With the Oroin. When the Oroin is in motion, Vayhi bin Soya ha'Oroin, then Kuma Hashem v'yafutsu o'yevecha v'yonusu misanecha miponecha. The same exact two words, Hashem's enemies are scattered. Why only when we travel with the Oroin does this happen? Obviously, the Oroin, the Torah, is what makes Klal Yisrael unique. Okay, Esav over here, who are the enemies? So Rashi here says Esav v'chayotzei bo, Esav and all of his friends. Why did Rashi have to say that? I don't know. Why did Rashi, Yokum kim v'yafutsu oivav? What is Rashi saying over here? Esav. Esav? What do you mean Esav? Maybe Rashi is coming to explain that who is David's? See, Rashi, when we started this Mizma, Rashi did not tell us, did not openly give an introduction. What's the purpose of this Mizma? When did David write this Mizma? To whom did he write about? What is it all about? And if you look like most of Mepharshim, we're dealing with David fighting battles. Who did David fight most of his battles against? The Pelishtim against Moab, against Ammon. You don't get the sense, I don't know Nach well, but you don't get the sense that David's major battles in his career were against Esav. That was not his thing. Esav came later. Esav was a later battle. Maybe you would say that Shaul, Amalek, what? No, they're not. They're not. They're all, every nation has a unique flavor. It's like Baskins and Robbins. 31 flavors. There were 31 Canaanite nations. And there were
especially by Rashi, who says,
Halacha, Esav, Son of Yaakov. Exactly.
I thought that's one. Really lumping everybody.
No, it's I hear what you're saying, maybe. It would seem not. It would seem that every nation has a unique flavor. Everyone has a unique reason why they hate us. And David's battles were not against Esav. David's battles were by and large against the Pelishtim. That was his whole childhood when he grew up on the Shaul with the Pelishtim and with Goliath. And then later there were other battles, but the other battles don't really single out Esav. He had battles with his own people. I mean, he was always five people trying, always, he had domestic issues. But amongst the nations of the world, you don't really have that sense. Yet over here, Rashi comes in and says, Esav v'chayotzeibo, which would seem to indicate that Rashi is telling us between the lines that this Mizmar is a prophecy for the future. And after the era of the Chasimah Satanach, who did the Jewish people really have tzaras with? Esav. Esav, I mean, we talk about Yishmael. Yishmael is not part of the Dal Malchios. Edom is, you know, there are Dal Malchios. It's Bavel, Parasamadai, Yavon, and Edom. Edom. And the truth is, Parasamadai was how many years? The whole era of Parasamadai was not a long period of time. Yavon was 180 years. Golus Edom includes the entire, the Bayis Sheni as well, the entire era of the Bayis Sheni, we were under the control of But the Bayit Sheni was all under Edom. They let us build the Beis HaMikdash, but
No.
After 180 years, half.
The last
half,
right?
Even a little bit more. Right, fine. But the last, so we're dealing with Edom over 2,000 years. Yavon, Chazal say, was 180 years. The entire era of Golus Yavon was 180 years. Golus Bavel, so how long is Bavel? I mean, it was 70 years until Bavel fell. And before that, it was when they rose up. So it's, what is it, approximately 100 years of Bavel? Yeah?
They were much more powerful in the Middle Ages. The Arabs ruled Europe.
Okay, I don't know.
The Jewish
Christianity was falling apart.
Okay.
They were friendly.
I mean, they
had a refuge.
Halacha b'yidua Esav son Yaakov. Chazal, I mean, there were times. Look, we're living now in good times, relatively speaking. We're living now in wonderful times where we're living under other Esav.
Maybe this was Rashi wants to hint that Esav, the eventually also maybe Yaakov, but
and Hashem is going to disperse them. It would appear that since Rashi gave us no hakdama as to who wrote, when this mizmor, what is it referring to, and he mentions Esav, which is unusual, it would almost seem to indicate that this is a prophecy. It is a prophecy for the future. Because the enemy of the Jewish people, the primary enemy of the Jewish people after the time of David is Esav. And therefore, it's writing about what's going to happen in the future, and David here is being mispalel tefila kodim letzara to give Klal Yisrael siyata d'shmaya to survive. The next pasuk says kikinda over here he curses the enemy and he says they should blow away like smoke kihindoif ashan, just as smoke is blown away easily. Tindoif, the enemies of the Jewish people, Esav according to Rashi, should be blown away. Next. Ki he meis doinag. Doinag means wax, and he meis means to melt, just as wax.
A fuzzy,
Move too close to the mic.
What does doinag mean?
Wax. W-A-X.
Candle.
Wax, candles. When you put wax in front of fire, the wax melts. So just like ki he meis doinag nipnei eish, just as wax melts before fire, likewise, he's cursing the enemies of the Jewish people, yoivdu rishoim nipnei elokim, may the wicked people be destroyed in the presence of Hashem. When Hashem will reveal himself, Hashem's fire will instantly cause the enemies of the Jewish people to melt like wax. Pasuk, now what does it say in Rashi? Kihindoif, kihis nadef, to blow. Kasher yis nadef he'oshan kain tin de face. Kain tin de fame. Kain so to tin de fame. Just as smoke is blown away, likewise, the enemies of the Jewish people should be blown away. Mibnei Elokim, Mibnei Ha'aroin, Bimei Moshe. Oh, so Rashi's vacillating. He's now saying, what do you mean Mibnei Elokim? And now he's going back of the Aroin in the days of Moshe. We're going back in time? What's going on over here? First, he talks about Esav. Esav really didn't even exist during the time. I mean, it was Amalek. Amalek is Esav. All right, I'm not sure. Let's look over here. What it says, Uvenucho Yomar. And when Hashem rests, Shuvo Hashem. Now if you know over here, what he's saying over here, he's coming to connect this pasuk, the chasima of Ahi ben Saharim. Okay, when we lay in this Shabbos, there are 85 letters. Vayihi bin soa ha'aroin vayoyimer mashakuma Hashem v'yafutzo oivecha v'yonusu misanecha miponecha. And then the second pasuk is uvinucho yomar shuvo Hashem rivois alfei Yisrael. So the pasuk kemat explicitly says the first part, yakum elokim yafutzu oivav v'yonusu misanav miponecha. That is the equivalent of the first pasuk. What Rashi is doing is the Pasuk Gimel is telling us is the equivalent of Uvinucho Yomar. Because Rashi is quoting the end of the Pasuk. So he's saying it's just like Pasuk Beis is another way of saying. So too Pasuk Gimel is the equivalent of Uvinucho Yomar, and when the Oroin would rest, Shuva Hashem, Rivavois Alfei Yisrael, Hashem restore the multitudes of the Jewish people, and that's how does that fit into Pasuk Gimel? Ki Hindoif Hashem, Tindoif, Ki Himeis Doinag, Mibne Eish, Yoivdu Rishoim, Rashi, Ki Hindoif, Ki Hisnadeif, Kasha, we did it before. Umibnei Elokim, Mibnei Ha'aroin, Bimei Moshe, Uvinucho Yoimar Shuva Hashem. All right, so this, I don't know. We have to really, we have to go back and look and really analyze. Rashi says something very, very deep. It almost as if he's trying to say that this Pasuk Gimel, is a Perush Rashi on the Pasuk Uvinucho Yomar. Just as Pasuk Beis is a Perush Rashi on the Pasuk Kumo Hashem, v'yafutzo ivecha, v'yanusu misnecha v'ponecha. It's saying it in different words, bringing out a different idea, the nuance of language. So too, the second pasuk, when the enemies completely melt and disappear, then the Jewish people are restored. And perhaps what this means is, what is really the difference between pasuk Beis and pasuk Gimel? Pasuk Beis, the enemies are alive. They just temporarily have retreated only to come back and fight another day. In Pasuk Beis, it doesn't say that the enemies have been eliminated. All it says is that the enemies have been dispersed and they have fled. But what will happen if you don't kill the cockroaches? They're going to come back to haunt you. Just because right now you clean them out, you sweep them out, if you don't go to their nest and completely take them out from their source, okay, so you've won this particular battle. But the war still continues. Yeah, Mayor?
We say in the Shemoneh Esrei every time you eat rosin in your feet, Ucholah kamen malai, kamen,
okay.
May for hafer atasam, v'hafer machshvosam, and the chassidim add, k'e kemo, v'nei ruach u'malach Hashem doicha.
Okay, but all of those fit in the line of dispersion and
yeah,
right, scattering. So in Pasuk Gimel is telling us they are completely eliminated. The war has been won. In Pasuk Beis, it's telling us the battle has been won. When a battle is won, there's still a war. So you've defeated a few of them. Or they have retreated, but there's more to come. Pasuk Beis, all it says is Yafutsu Oyevav, they are scattered. V'yanusu Misna Miponav, but the enemy is still alive. They're still out there. Now you come to Pasuk Gimel, and Pasuk Gimel it says that the enemy has melted. They have melted like wax and like smoke. They've been blown away. The smoke is never coming back. Wax will never be reconstituted to what it was after the wax melts. They are gone. Now take that idea, and this is not obvious, and you look in the pasuk, Vayhi bin Soiharon Vayoimer Moshe, Kumo Hashem, V'yafut Soivecha, V'yonusu Misanecha Miponecha. Okay, same as the enemies, our enemies have been scattered. Now you go to what is the next pasuk coming to add? Uvinucho Yomar, Shuva Hashem, Rivois Alfei Yisrael. What has been Uvinucho Yomar? When the Oroin comes to rest. So what does that mean? What does it mean it comes to rest? What does that mean? So Rashi says, the Aron coming to rest, Rashi says, well, Rashi in this one says, Mibnei Elokim, what is the equivalent of the Aron? Elokim. Now Elokim, in this pasuk, is telling us that Hashem's appearance is so mighty, the enemy is not just running away and fleeing and being scattered. The enemy is complete, doesn't exist. The enemy has melted. The enemy is like smoke that has blown away. So now if you translate that into the pasuk of Uvenucho Yomar, which is the Aron, the Aron, and what Rashi is saying, he's telling us that the second pasuk is the Aron will rest when the Rishoyim completely cease to exist. Vayehi ben Soya, the Rishoyim, they continue to exist. The only thing is, they're not bothering us. They have been pushed away, they're far away, they're on the other side of the ocean. Leave us alone, but they continue to exist. As long as they exist, they will get back together, they will plan and plot to come back and cause us harm. But when the Rishaim are completely eliminated, then there's final rest, and only then Uvin Shuva Hashem Rivivois Alfei Yisrael. For example, very simple example, by Kriyas Yamsuf, the Yam drowned the Egyptians. However, the Jewish people were paranoid, and they firmly believed that the Egyptians are still alive. And they said, just as we have come out of the Yam, we have come out on this side, the Egyptians have come out and survived on the other side.
I think it may be a little bit poorly.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
No, it's fine. Maybe just put the value. Just as the Egyptians, they have come out, we have come out on one side, so too the Egyptians have come out, and they have come out on the other side. So what did Hashem say? Hashem instructed the Yam to spit out the Egyptians so they can see that they are dead. And there's nothing anymore to worry about. As long as the enemy is alive and is present, even though they have been weakened, there is still an inherent fear that they will reappear and they will cause us pain. The only time Klal Yisrael was able to have full satisfaction from Kriyas Yamsuf and Yetzias Mitzrayim was when the Yam spit out the Egyptians. Vayar Yisholas Mitzrayim Meis al Sfas Hayam. It was only when they saw the Egyptians dead and they knew there's not going to be any more harm, then was it the simcha, was it complete, were they able to say Oz Yosher Moshe? So over here, don't you have exactly that same exact thing? Here, the pasuk Uvinucho Yomar, when the Aron will rest, then Shuva Hashem Rivavois Alfei Yisrael. Only then does Klal Yisrael feel strong, where they're able to appear, where they're able to be restored and present themselves. Why is there no Rivavois Alfei Yisrael in the first pasuk of Vayehi ben Soya Haroin Vayoyim Moshe? How come there's no mention there? That's because the enemies are still alive. They've been temporarily weakened. They've been subdued, but they're there. And as long as they're there, they are a mortal threat and danger to Klal Yisrael, that they will come back to haunt us. So Klal Yisrael is not at the level of the Rivavois Alfei Yisrael. But when the enemies are completely obliterated, then there's nothing more to fear. And then Shuva Hashem Rivavois Alfei Yisrael. So what he's saying over here, if you want to make this connection, maybe you don't like this idea, is Rashi makes it very clear, Mibnei Elokim. What is Elokim? It's the next pasuk. The next pasuk of Mibnei Ha'aroin Bimei Moshe. Uvinucho Yomar Shuva Hashem. Rashi is telling us pasuk Gimel corresponds to the pasuk of Shuva Hashem. It's clear the reason why he's doing this is because pasuk Beis corresponds to Vayehi bin Soya Horoin Vayoyim Moshe Kumo Hashem Yefutsoy Vechavi Nusum Misnachmi Bonecha. And these two psukim are back to back in this week's parasha. These two psukim are separated by the upside down nuns, or the inverted nuns, not the inverted nuns. So we have these two psukim. We read it 100 times. What are these two psukim telling us? So Rashi is doing us an incredible favor and is telling us that if you want to perish Rashi on these two psukim in the Torah, compare them to the two psukim in Tehillim in Mizmor Samaches. The first pasuk Vayhi bin Soa corresponds to pasuk Beis Yokum Elokim Yafutsu Oivav V'yonusu Misanav Niponav. And pasuk, the second pasuk, Shuva Hashem Ruvos Alfei Yisrael, that corresponds to pasuk Gimel. That's exactly what Rashi is saying. Now, what advantage do we gain from this? The advantage is here in pasuk Gimel, the difference between pasuk Gimel and pasuk Beis is in pasuk Gimel, the enemy is completely destroyed, never ever to return, like smoke that blows away, and like wax that melts. It will never return. It's not the Terminator. Never, never to return. What?
I see something in both Sukkim, Torah and here. Kuma Hashem, Yafutu Evecha. Period. It's enough if Hashem suddenly gets mitorer. He doesn't do anything. He just stand up. And they run away. And then the Anusu Misanecha Mipanecha, when you start to be angry at them, and there's a kines don't like they are
eliminated. They don't exist, exactly. That's what we're saying.
The first one just Hashem gets up, that's it. As it must be.
Kuma. Right, the first pasuk is they are weakened, they are running away, but they're still alive. In the second pasuk, they no longer exist. By Rashi comparing these two psukim to the two psukim by Ibn Sayyid and Shuv Hashem, he's revealing that when it says in the pasuk uvinucho yomar means there's more that's going on in that pasuk. When the Oroin only comes to rest when the enemy is completely eliminated. When the Oroin is Kumo Hashem, when the Oroin is out of location, it is in the process of bringing fear to our enemies and they are fleeing, they are running away. But that's not enough. That's not enough. The enemy has to be completely, completely conquered. And only when the enemy is completely conquered can the Oroin come to rest.
But we've had 2,000 years and the enemy has never come to rest.
That's right, so the Oroin has never come to rest. Exactly, the Oroin is in motion. Exactly, the Oroin can never be in a state of rest until the enemy does not exist. The enemy being subdued and being weakened and being held back is not enough for the Oron to come to rest. When there are enemies, the first part of the process is Kumo Hashem. The Oron rises up. That begins the process of scaring off the enemy. But for the enemy to be eliminated, when will the Oron rest permanently? Only when uvinucho. What does it mean, uvinucho? To rest. That Rashi here in Tehillim, Mizmor Samaches, by comparing these two together, is revealing that can only happen when the enemy becomes like wax and smoke. When the wax melts and the smoke is blown away, then we have a total elimination of the enemy and there will be complete rest. Now, in the process, Rashi also is revealing backwards that when will there be a restoration? Will Klal Yisrael be allowed to blossom? Rivavos Alfei Yisrael, which is really an expression of the blossoming of Klal Yisrael, that can only be when the enemy is completely defeated. As long as the enemy is out there, there is something holding us back from being able to blossom. And the example I gave is from Kriyas Yamsuf, where there was no comfort in Yitzias Mitzrayim until Vayar Yisrael Es Mitzrayim Meis Al Sfas Haya. You need that final step. Okay, next pasuk. Pasuk Dalid. We learned with Tzadikim.
Would you say that today we're seeing a blossoming?
Absolutely. But without question, there's also a very dangerous enemy out there, lurking out there. So how do we make sense out of this? That there's a, I don't know, big mystery. It's Hashem's world. it's a big mystery. Look at the blossoming. I watched yesterday the videos of the Adirei HaTorah. You know what that is? In Lakewood, they had an event. It's the second year in a row. In Pennsylvania, they rented a big stadium, it can hold 25,000 people. Every seat was taken. And the Lakewood Yeshiva made an event it's a fundraising event, pretty much, just a chizuk. Today, everyone is looking in the street for chizuk. Everyone is searching for chizuk. And it was a display of hineni. We are here. We have power. We have numbers. We are a force to be reckoned with. Don't just brush us aside. They attempted. If you look at I tried to study this the event. It would appear that they tried very hard to combine together the best of the Aguda and of Dirshu. You can clearly see elements of both. You know, I don't know if you're familiar with all of these things I'm talking about. The Aguda, they're very proud.
No,
and all the people I can tell you a lot about this. But they definitely planned it. So just maybe keep the door open. We'll keep the door open. So they definitely planned. Then the other door is gonna slam back and forth. Whatever you want to leave it, whatever. It is what it is. So it definitely shows the blossoming of Klal Yisrael. Such an event 25 years ago would have been thoroughly impossible to make such an event. Such an event. Go back 50 years, not even a Hava Amina. Okay, so you're saying good that there could be such a thing. What happened, what they did two nights ago, whatever the reason is, whatever, people, there's a lot of peanut galleries out there. People have what to say. V'gam ani b'soicham. But it definitely, it shows, as you're saying, Dr. Beanstalk, that there's an incredible blossoming of Klal Yisrael today, like never before. And that comes with a very great responsibility. Very, very, you know, it's, you're right. So, uvenucho yoimar shuva Hashem rivavois alpha, they had there more than 22,000 people. It says in Chazal that the Shechina, you need to have 22,000 people for the Shechina to rest. It's not so often that Klal Yisrael, it's not so common, there's nothing we can do about it. It's not so common that you can get together 22,000 people. The Shechina, the Revavos, Alfei, a Revava is 10,000. When it's in plural, Revavos is 20,000. Elef is 1,000, Alfei is 2,000. Rivavos Alfei is 22,000. So it's this week's parasha. Vayihi bin Soya Haron Vayoy Mekumo Hashem. The Shechina is present. V'yafut Soyevecha V'yenusum Lisanecha Mipanecha Uvinucho Yoymar Shuva Hashem Rivavos Alfei Yisrael. This is a Chazal learned that the Ein Hashechina Shuya Ella in a mokum where there's 22,000 people present together. So it's not years ago. It definitely goes to prove the point that you just said, that there is a blossoming of Klal Yisrael today, where it's mesamel that we can bring the Shechina back in an intense form to this world. Let's go further. Pasuk Dalet. V'tzadikim yismuchu ya'altzu lifnei Elokim v'yosisu v'simcha. Pasuk Hey. Shiru lelukim, sing to Hashem, zamaru shemo, make music to his name, soilu laroichev bo'aravais. So we learned so far in the Mitzudos, the word soilu is a word which means similar to make music, to raise up high in song. raise up a song to who in honor of Hashem. Okay, Mr. Cohen, don't worry about it. Mr. Cohen, don't worry about it. The world goes on. Don't worry about it. Let it be. Okay, L'roiche Baravois is a term that we use to describe Hashem. We discussed this at length. What does it mean? Baravois comes from the word rochav, with. Okay. Because Shemo, we had a very hard time explaining what that means. The Mitzudos went off on a tangent that is not typical. To say Ka means half of Hashem's name. As long as Amalek is in existence, Hashem's name is only half. Hashem's name is Yud Kei Vav Kei. Here it's only Yud Kei, and that is half of Hashem's name. And Ve'ilzu Lefanav, and according to the Mitzvah David, over here the Pasuk David is telling Klal Yisrael that they should rejoice in their emunah, that even though now Hashem's name is incomplete, but the day will come when Hashem's name will be complete and the gula will come. We have joy in the emunah of today. What does it say in Rashi? Rashi, v'yasisu v'simcha, rejoice, v'yasisu v'simcha, zehu ha-mosois. This is joy. This is ma'sois. What does Rashi mean? V'chein yoimru, shiru l'lukim, soilu. That's right, the next expression. So what does it mean? V'yasisu v'simcha. Tzadikim yismichu ye'altzu lefnei Elokim. V'yasisu v'simcha. Rashi, v'zehu ha'mosois. The following, I think what he means to go say is, what is the joy? What are you joyous about? What? So the next pasuk is telling us what the joy is. Let's try to explain. When we learned the Mitzudos, the way I translated it, the way I understood it, is it's just like poetic repetition. Here we are at the time of the end of days when the pasuk before just said that our enemies will be eliminated. And when the enemies are eliminated, we're going to be joyous. How are we going to be joyous? So we have two psukim that basically say the same thing. We're going to have simcha, the tzaddikim are going to rejoice. They're going to engage in this expression of joy called ya'altzu, the asisu v'simcha. And then pasuk hey is just again more of the same. They're going to sing songs, shiru l'lukim, zamru shmo, soilu l'roiche baravas. Rashi says wrong. It's not poetic repetition. Pasuk Hey is telling you what is the joy. Pasuk Dalet is giving you instructions to engage in what it says in Pasuk Hey. Pasuk Hey is the activity, or is the statement of what Pasuk Dalet is prepping us to do. The tzaddikim should rejoice, and the Yaltzu Lefnei Elokim v'yasisu v'simcha. And how? What is the simcha? What do you do? How do you have joy? You turn on the tape recorder and you dance. You go downstairs to the center and you dance Hava Negila. What exactly is the joy? Not so bad. Not saying anything, but what is the joy? How do you have joy? Tzaddikim, rejoice. Yaltzu v'yasisu v'simcha. How? Learn a daf gemara? Pikudei Hashem Yisharim Misam Chilev? Is that what you're supposed to do to express your joy? Or should you express your joy with having a concert? Should you express your joy by having a Simchas Torah? What is the joy? None of the above. The joy is number Pasuk Hey. The way you're going to show your joy is to do three things. It's to sing Leilokim, Zamru Shemo, to make music. It sounds like to me to compose new melodies, new songs, make music to Hashem. And number three, the third thing you should do to express your joy is Soilu L'roiche Baravais, is to ascend, rise up to Hashem. Rise up L'roiche Baravais, which again is a term that the pasuk here is using to refer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now let's look over here again in the Rashi. Rashi explains v'zehu hamosais. It's the second to last line. This is the joy. This is how you're going to rejoice. V'chein yoimru. I want you to declare the following. Shiru l'elokim. Say these words. Soilu. What does this word mean? So Rashi here says something very similar to what we learned in the Mitzudos. L'shoin shevach. Give praise. V'chein lo sisule b'chesem oifir. Don't praise yourself in the gold of Peru. Ophir, I don't know. Ophir is the name of a place. So some say the word Ophir. We learned this long, long ago, back in Yeshaya, where I think of Shimon Schwab. I used to use here. He's a very good sefer. They don't have a sefer until him from Shimon Schwab yet. But he says there, if I'm not mistaken, that Ophir is Peru. Did anyone here in this room go to Peru to visit? What?
Later, I booked the flight to.
You're joking. You going to Peru?
No, he's joking.
Okay, so supposedly Peru has very good gold, very high quality gold, and the pasuk over here is telling you, according to what Eov is saying, according to the parish of Rashi, Eov is telling his fellows, don't get carried away with your wealth. Just because you have a gold that has been procured from Peru, loy sisule, don't praise yourself. You're not going to take it with you to the next world. Don't get so carried away with your exotic wealth. So in that context of that passage, the word sisule means shevach, praise. Likewise, hamisuloim bapaz, people who, that's how he's looking at people who praise themselves, people who are confident, and they hold of themselves because they have lots of gold. Say this on the radio all the time. Buy gold. The world is coming to an end. Invest in gold. You don't hear these commercials the whole day on the radio? Invest in gold. The world going in a... Okay? Okay, they always said, they've been saying that for the last 50 years, gold is going to go to the roof. It hasn't gone to, it's gone up. It hasn't gone anywhere near what they claim. Where are you going to cave in your mattress? Okay, so soilu. Okay, Rabbi Yisai, this is not a shir in economics. This is not a shir in economics. Rabbi Yisai. We're not giving a shir in economics now. Soilu, people who praise themselves in diversifying their assets. They have money. They have gold. It's not going to make. Do not praise. Different. The basic gist of here is that the word soilu, Rashi and the Mitzudos are struggling to tell you that it does not mean to pave. The common translation of soilu hamesila means pave a road, stop all traffic, gridlock alert, bring in all the trucks, grind the streets, and then bring in the asphalt and. To pave, right. Soilu solu panu dorach. Is pave the roads. Oh, very good. That's the Haftorah. That's the Haftorah. The Haftorah of Yom Kippur is soilu solu panu derech. So simply means there, pave.
Sing solo, not with the choir.
Sing alone, not with the choir. Solo. Solo. Okay, so the pshutoy shel mikra is to pave. But it's not what Rashi and the Mitzudos, they both go out of their way in this particular context, here only. It means to praise Hashem. It's an expression of praise. It would seem that when you pave a road, when it says soilu solu padu derech, it's referring to a road that goes up. I don't know if there's any technology in difference when you make roads. There's a difference in how you pave a road, if the road is primarily serving the purpose of going up, a different traction, shouldn't it be slippery? But soilu solu, even when it means to pave a road, it means like you're going up a mountain. Get the road, prepare the terrain so the people could ascend the mountain easily, pave the road upwards. So here, we're not talking about the road. We're only talking about going upwards, which here in this context is an expression of give shevach to Hashem.
It is very good that fits in. There were several Hebrew words that the Chacham didn't know, and the Shifcha of Rebbe would explain,
tell them,
Mesalsel
b'sarais.
In other words, you raise up Hashem, Hashem will raise you up.
You raise up. So he's saying very good that they're also Mesalsel, which means to play with your ears, to raise up. It's also an expression of raising up. Raising up, which Shevach. Oh, exactly. Hamesila Naaleh. Even when you if you want to learn that it means a road, you cannot ignore that it's not your average road. It appears to be a type of road which is going up. You're ascending.
Or else you have to build up a road, because otherwise it's money sinking or whatever. You have to build it up.
Bamasila Naaleh, but I think there it's going up. Okay, fine, whatever. Okay, but this, at least we learn one thing. One thing we learn over here today is at least the word soilu, everyone over here is on agreement. Even if Mordechai, it means to go up. It means to go up. And in this context, it means to go up and praise. When you praise, that's an expression of going up. Praise. Who are you praising? You're praising the Roichev Bo'aravas, the Ribbono Shel Olam. We have to compile a list of all the different terms for Hashem. And now comes the more difficult part of the pasuk of B'ka Shemo. B'Shem Ka Shu L'Shon Yira. The word Ka is completely different than what it says in the Mitzvot David. The Shem Ka is an expression of fear. Shulosh and Yira, Kidim and Targuminon, Dechila, fear. Over here in the Targum, he's not quoting this Targum because Rashi does not acknowledge Targum on Ksuvim. He never does that. Whenever Rashi teaches the word Targum, he's referring to a Targum somewhere in Chumash or in Nevi'im, because there, according to Rashi, there is no Targum on Kisuvim, and what it says, the Targum on our page, that's a modern Targum, that's not part of Rashi's. Rashi, maybe Rashi never even saw this, could have been written way after Rashi. And Kidim Targum Minan Dechila Ozi Vizimroska, the Ozi, the might and the song of Dechila, of fear. Okay, in that context, it means V'chein l'zumah v'chein kiyod al keiska v'targum v'chein b'ko Hashem. In this pasuk over here, it means arei. It's in Yeshaya. V'chein b'ko Hashem arei b'chein tis barakun. You will be redeemed. You will be redeemed. B'memra, the word d'chilo Hashem, of the fear of Hashem, takif olma, the power of the world. So, Oimer HaMeshorer, now what does this mean in summary? In summary, we're not going to go through all the details because I don't know the details over here, but the three psukim. He quoted three psukim and the word ka appears, and all three psukim, the Targum consistently says, ka, he translates as fear, yiras elokim. And now he summarizes the sentence, Oimer HaMeshorer, the singer says, shabchu lefanav, praise Hashem, viguru mipanav, but be afraid of him. Just because you're praising Hashem, that doesn't take away from the fact that you have to be terrified of Hashem. The ilzu, and what does ilzu mean? Ilzu means exalt. It means, you know, give out, also means praise. V'zehu dugmas ha'mabok macher v'gilu bira adar. Rejoice with trepidation. Beautiful pasuk. So now, let's go back and try to read the pasuk according to what Rashi is telling us. It's a very difficult pasuk. The two psukim together. Pasuk Dal is the warm up according to Rashi. The Pasuk Dal says that tzaddikim are going to rejoice. Ya'altsu lefnei Elokim. They're going to exult before Elokim. Now notice, now we get a little more flavor as to why it says Elokim. Elokim is midas hadin. It is harsh. There is a fear before Elokim. V'yosisu, they should rejoice v'simcha. Now maybe I'm making a mistake. I'm probably making a mistake. The word ya'altsu, I kept on translating until now, it means to rejoice. Perhaps the word ya'altsu doesn't really mean to rejoice. Ya'altsu means an expression of reverence. Is that what it really means? Rikud, to dance? Where are you reading it from? Where are you reading that from? The Mitzudos? In the Malbim. Okay, the Malbim is going to say Zomshat, Ya'alzu kvar yadish shapol olatz bo'al simcha nafshis. He says it means joy. It means the joy of the neshama, and sisu is referring to the joy of the body. v'chitzoinim. Okay, so there's the joy of the neshama and the joy of the guf. Okay, enacharami, that's according to the Malbim. He learns the word ya'alitsu. Ya'alitsu means joy, happiness. But I'm from the context of the way Rashi presents this, it, maybe it's possible that the word ya'alitsu doesn't really mean joy. It is an expression of reverence. So what does exalt mean? What's the English translation of the English word exalt? Go to the dictionary. Exalt. Exalt is, oh, so right. Exalt usually means, I think in the English language, the best that I don't know anything, has a flavor of praise. But I'm not so sure that's really what it means. And that's what that word yaltsu. It means an expression of reverence. When a person, a great person, walks into the room, what do? You stand up. Is that called yaltsu? It's an expression. You're moving with your body to show honor, to show reverence. Oh, we have a holy person over here. We're afraid of this person. When a person shuckles, it's you're nervous. You're moving back and forth. There are expressions of praise, and there are ways to express your reverence, which fits in the category of fear, not joy. Rashi seems to say the word ya'altsu means an emotional expression of fear. Rashi on page 574, when he summarizes, he says, Oimer hamashoyer, shabachu lefanav, praise Hashem, the guru mipanav, the ill, that's the wrong word. See, I made a mistake. I made a mistake. The ilzu, I didn't make a mistake totally, but the ilzu certainly means joy. Aliza. Pasuk hey, that's with the zayin. I'm confusing these two words. There's ilzu with a tzadi and ilzu with a zayin. They're not the same words. Ilzu means joy, beyond a shadow of a doubt. Ayin, lamid, tzadi, I don't know what that word means. It does appear from most of the commentators and from the English translation that it means joy. But does it really mean joy? Maybe it really means, and it means, again, like I said a few times, an expression, an emotional expression of reverence. That is not the same thing as joy. And Rashi over here is saying over here that you rejoice, shabhu lefanav. Rejoice, and then it says, but then he goes on, the guru, show reverence, and then he winds down with the ilzu, praise, fear, and joy. V'zehu dugma sam b'makom acher, v'gilu b'ra'ada, rejoice with trepidation. Okay, that's one of the very popular reasons why we shuckle. You go back and forth when people daven. The minig is for a Jew to move to shakel. I found it very fascinating watching the different Gedolei Yisrael, watching the video of the Adirei HaTorah event in Lakewood, in Pennsylvania, the Lakewood event, and they had a lot of speakers, and there were a lot of different parts to this event, and I was analyzing how each one of the Gedolei Yisrael, how they shakel. Everyone has a unique signature and how they shuckle. Right. It's very interesting to watch the Gedolei Yisrael, how they shuckle. Everyone has all different types of Gedolei Yisrael. The Israelis, the Americans, the young, the old. Everyone has a different expression, just like dancing. No two people dance alike. No such thing. No two people shuckle the same way. The same way no two people look alike, no two people think alike, no two people shuckle the same way.
He says exalt here means triumphant elation or jubilation.
Joy, English. Who says we're translating the word correctly? Okay, so you see in English it has to mean jubilation, in English. But who says that's the correct English translation for the word ya'altsu? Who says that? Maybe, obviously some of the Farshim hold that it is, but according to Rashi, you're getting the impression, can't prove it, that it really doesn't mean joy. It means more on the side of
of an expression of fear. Look, the fear and joy are very much related. They're very much related. You can't really experience joy, real joy, unless you have the element of fear. Rabbi Reisman always used to say, this is a very beautiful idea, Rabbi Reisman always would say, who in the Torah, in the Ishei HaTanach, you know, they have these books, the Ishei HaTanach, all of the people, like a short bio of every single person who appears in Tanach. Okay, this is a fabulous set called Ishei HaTanach. Art School made a beautiful coffee edition of this. And they have a few of them, the Ishei HaTanach. A synopsis, a short bio of all the biblical figures. All of the biblical figures, who was the happiest person?
Happiest.
Who was the happiest person? And who was probably the most, at the same time, who was the most serious person? The person who lived as if a bolt of lightning was going
to
come down and strike him.
Moshe, Yeranein,
So Rabbi Reisman claims the happiest and the person who lived with the most dread was Yitzchak Avinu. Because Yitzchak, Vayechrad Yitzchak, Charada Gidoyla Ad Me'od. You know, you have to be able, that's when Esav walked in, but if you don't have the koichai sanefesh to live with dread, you know, people, you'd be on an airplane, and the captain says, you know, we're over the Atlantic, and both our engines are not working, we're all gonna die. Brace, we're about now to go into the Atlantic. Everyone, say your last prayers. So there are people on the, can you imagine you have an airplane full of people. What do people do? What does everyone do on the airplane? So there are certainly people that start become hysterical. Everyone has a different emotion. If you go on an airplane, you have a whole bunch of people, chashoma, and the pilot says, we're all going to die now. Get ready. There's certainly people on the airplane that it's a big joke. Okay, we're going to die. It was a good life. I'm very happy, and okay. Ha ha ha, here we go, it's all over. Okay, it's all over. Oh, Yiranein, he was happy. He had both. Okay, so there are definitely people that they're not even capable of having any sense of fear in their life. And even at moments when a normal person will be terrified, they're just missing some screws. They don't have that koyach of having fear. Yitzchak had the koyach of having fear. V'haraya v'yishova Yaakov bepachad aviv Yitzchak. Yaakov Avinu, he was maspid. What was the hesped? What was the hesped that Yaakov Avinu gave for his father Yitzchak? Yaakov Avinu was maspid Yitzchak. He wasn't maspid him b'shas maisa. It doesn't tell you anything about Yitzchak's funeral. Nothing. Yaakov had a very elaborate funeral. Avraham Avinu, which says Vayikva Yosef, Yitzchak also, but there's no elaborate hespedim. There is a hesped. Yaakov Avinu was maspid, his father Yitzchak. Years later, how many years later it took him to be maspid? At least 22 years later, when he was coming back from Lavan, and Lavan was chasing him to kill him. And they made a treaty, Gal-Aid, Vayishova Yaakov bepachad aviv Yitzchak. Here was the hesped. The hesped was, it took 22 years to be maspid. My father, he was the pachad Yitzchak. The pachad Yitzchak, he walked out over here. Am I a Chaim Berlin person? Or a Blazer, at least over here. The hesped of Yitzchak was one word. He lived in a state of pachad of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Where did that come from? The Akedah. No, the Akedah. Avraham was about to slaughter him. He went and he tied him up. Yitzchak lived in a matzav of pachad.
When he walked in,
we find again and again expressions of fear by Yitzchak. And yet, what is Yitzchak's name? Yitzchak, Tzachok.
Tzechoik osli elokim. Now, this is not the 21st century. Okay, when a name was given to a member of the Yishei Tanakh, that name defines their essence. If Sari Imenu called him Yitzchak, Tzechoik, some say his real name is really Yitzchak with a sin, and Hashem changed his name to Yitzchak, just whatever, whatever. If his name is Yitzchak, Tzechoik, Osali Elokim, Kol Hashem Yitzchakli. Well, okay, fine. Okay, fine. I take it back then. His name is Yitzchak. That defines his essence. Tzechoik, a very high level of joy. So how could it possibly be? How could it be that Yitzchak, on the one hand, is Pachad Yitzchak, Vayechad Yitzchak Harod Gedoyla Ad Me'oid, Akeda, and yet Tzechoik, they go together. They go together. The greatest joy a person can have in this world is being a Yorei Shamayim. When you fear Hashem, it's impossible to explain. The only way we could understand this is to experience. The more a person grows in Yira Shamayim, the more pure joy in does he experience in life. That's the reality. It is impossible to explain. Try to explain this to a goy. I don't know what you're talking about. Try to explain it to a Jew. They also don't understand what you're talking about. But the truth is, the greatest joy you can experience in life is pachad, is fear of Hashem. V'gilu bira ada. Rejoice in pachad, in trepidation. This is gold. V'gilu bira ada. The real joy comes through the fear of Hashem. Rashi over here is saying that's exactly what's going on here in this pasuk. What is the joy of La'asa Lavai? The joy of La'asa Lavai is Ka, because Shemai. Rashi is Mechadesh. The Mitzudas David doesn't go near this idea with a 10-foot pole. Rashi says the reason why the word because Shemai is being presented in this pasuk is because Ka, the Shemai, the Shem Hashem of Ka, is the shame of Pachad, of Yira. The Targum, every time the word Ka appears in Chumash and Navi, B'dechilu, it means fear, the fear of Hashem. Why is the word Ka mean fear? I don't know. I have no idea why. I'm not into Shemais. Every Shem Hashem has a different flavor, a different purpose. But we take this as a given. Ka Shemai is the shame of Pachad. And then it says, V'ilzu lefanav. Rejoice. We're going back and forth. Rav Menachem, you missed a whole shiur on Pachad Yitzchak. V'ilzu lefanav yav b'ka shemo is Pachad. The ka, b'ka shemo. Ka is his name. Hashem is a God that you fear. And that fear, v'ilzu lefanav, is what's going to bring you the ability to rejoice before him. So now we go back. What should we do? And this repeat the word. What should we do? Shiru le'elokim. Notice the word Elokim. Not shiru la'Hashem. La'Hashem is rachamim. Hashem is ahava. Elokim is din. Is fear. Over here, again and again, we are combining over here multiple times. We are synthesizing in many different expressions elements of love and fear together. Pachad and joy. It says here, Shiru, song. Song is Ahava. To who? Lelokim. Midas Hadin. Zamaru Shemo. Let's assume that Zamaru means song is also joy. And then Soilu Lorochev Barovais. This is fear. I want to suggest that this also is an expression of fear. Praise. But not a praise of joy. Soilu b'mesila na'ale to the Roichei Baravos. The Roichei Baravos represents HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a very high, exalted place where man has no business. It's an exaltedness of Pachad. And Soilu is an expression, I'm just groping in the darkness here, of reverence. So Zamaru Shmo is Ahava, together with Soilu L'Roichei Barovos, fear. Again, because Shemoi, fear, v'ilzulifanav, joy. We go back and forth. We go back and forth over here three times in Pasuk Hey between joy and pachad. Let's assume Shiru is joy, Elokim is Yira, Zamaru Shemo is joy, Soilu Loroiche Baravois is fear. Because Shiru reversed. Because is fear, V'ilzulifanav is joy. Rashi pretty much is saying, this is what Rashi seems all here to be alluding to explain this these very difficult stuff. Okay, now we go to the next pasuk. Avi Yisaimim. It's getting very late. Avi Yisaimim. V'dayan almanois. Elokim b'mo'oin kachar. Remember, this is the end of days. According to Rashi. Rashi is going with the Mahalach. What is Rashi? Avi Yisaimim. Rashi says, Zehu ha'shevach she'tishabichu lifanav. All of these things are the forms of praise that we are giving to Hashem. We've been instructed to praise Hashem, and now we're giving praise. And this is also an expression of praise, that Hashem is the father of Yisoimim, and he is the Dain of Almanois, and Rasha Os Shena'asa of the Yisrael, Shehem Yisoimim. Hashem is become a father to the Jewish people who are Yisoimim, Kmo Shenemar, Yisoimim Hoyinu Ve'ein of. V'dayan almanois she'asa mishpato shel Yerushalayim she'nemar bo hoyisa ke'alamana. Hashem takes care of Klal Yisrael. Why is Klal Yisrael called Yisaimim? The Avos left us high and dry. Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. Where did they go? They died. Why do they have to die? I don't know. That's how the world goes. So Klal Yisrael, without the Avos, we're called the Yisaimim, Dayan Almanos. I have over here a very interesting sefer. It's very interesting. It first came out in Hebrew, now it came out in English. A person, this is very, very, very fascinating what this person did. He collected 119 letters. First he published it about 2-3 years ago in Hebrew, and now he translated it into English. 119 letters he collected from Gedolei Yisrael, going all the way back from the time of the Rambam, that were written to people who suffered a tragedy, and the letter was written to give them comfort. We today go to Menachem Avil, so Mekayim Nicham Avelim. And if you can't go to Nicham Avelim, so it used to be back in the day people knew how to write, and they used to have pen and paper in those days, and they would write letters. They would write letters, if they couldn't travel across the world to give someone nechama, they would write letters to give comfort. A letter, the written word is, Mark, you know this from the art scroll, the written word is forever. Forever. And it's taka very, very true. Like, you know, I know someone that told me, he says, I used to go to Menachem Avil, and it was a big avoida, you know, yeah, you know, people, you know, you had to go take off a whole day. If someone's local, even someone going local, you know, it's a disruption of your schedule to go to a person in Menachem Avil to do it the right way. And certainly the person is far away, the person is not in this neighborhood, you have to go to Far Rockaway, you gotta go to Queens, you gotta go to Lakewood. It's a big avoid to go be Menachem Avil someone. So he said, he used to go, whatever. He says, now it's too hard, he's much older, it's much too hard to go. So what he does is, if it's not mamish and flatbush, he writes a letter. So he says, you know how many times? Every time I was Menachem Avil, this is not a youngster, this person, Menachem Avil, he said to me, did anyone ever say to me, oh, you know, it was nice you came to be Menachem Avil? Never. And sometimes it was a lot of, it was a big, I teach, or do this, that, I'm very busy. To go be Menachem Avil takes a lot of effort to go. No one ever came over to me years later and said to me, you know, you came to Menachem Avil, it was so meaningful, you said such nice things. Never. When I stopped going to Menachem Avil out of town and I start writing letters, almost every so often I meet these people and they say years later, you know, you wrote me that letter after I was in Avelus. You know, it's so meaningful to me. Isn't it amazing? Here he saved himself time by not going, spending 3 hours traveling to Lakewood, and an hour there, whatever. Once he's there already, when he's there, right? He said, and he saved himself all that time by writing a letter, and is still earning the dividends of that letter years later. It's unbelievable, right?
That's because writing letters is a lost art. Most people
That's right.
don't do that anymore.
Even the people who do it, but there's something about a letter. So this fellow, he went and he collected 119. Why 119? I don't know. That's all he can find. 119. No Kabbal num. This if he could find another one, he would have rounded. He could. This is what he could find. He wrote that in the book. This person, Rachmanlis, this person, Loyalenu, he lost a child. He lost a child, and he went through a lot of Gehenim, a lot of Agmas Nefesh, and I don't know the whole. He writes in the Hakdama how the Sefer came about. Probably someone wrote him a letter, and he went and it became a project. He searched for letters that Gedoyle Yisrael wrote to people in a state of Avelus, and he collected them. You know, only the good ones, pretty that have meaning, and he put them into a Sefer, and then he translated. Then he put out it 2 years later. It's in English now, translated, and it's very interesting. It's you know, these letters were written obviously with a lot of precision, a lot of thought, and a lot of the letters bring out this pasuk Avi Yisoymim, this idea. A lot of them, they repeat this idea, and that when a person, Rachmana Litzlan, loses a parent, loses a father, so now Hashem becomes your father. Hashem is the, and you have a father. Hashem is not my father. Hashem, you're not my father. Yeah, Avinu Malkeinu Chatar Lefonecha. When I need a new toy, Avinu Malkeinu, Ever Hashanah Yom Kippur, Avinu Malkeinu, yeah, very nice. Hashem is not my father. I have a father. He takes care of me. But when you don't have a father, then you need a new father. Hashem says, I will be your father. Avi Yisaimim. This idea is written in many of the letters from these Gedele Yisrael. They have these letters. The best letter by far is the Rambam's letter. The Rambam, it's not really a letter. I don't know. It doesn't really belong in the book, I think. But the Rambam, he had a brother. His name was David, a younger brother. And the Rambam, he was his student. That's what it says. He learned with his brother, and his brother was very, very successful, charismatic person, and he went into business. It's gemstones, diamonds, chavis, and he was on a ship, and the ship sank, and he died. And along with him dying, he also took with him into the Yam all the money. And the Rambam became literally a pauper. Mamash machzo apsachim. And the Rambam could not deal with this. The Rambam says that because this whole story, basically, the Rambam says he's mamish on the brink of death. Depression, and no parnasa. He went through a horrible, horrible, horrible time. So I think it was even 8 years later, if I'm not mistaken, 8 years later, someone wrote him a letter and said to him, how you doing? Haven't seen you in a while. One of the Rambam's old buddies from back in the day. So the Rambam responds and basically curses him out. And he says to him, don't you know I lost my brother? I'm an Ovel. And I'm going out of my mind. I'm in a deep state of depression. I don't have what to eat. I don't have anything. I have no joy in life. How come you didn't send me a letter? How come you were not Menachem Avol me? Why didn't you send me a letter? Why didn't you? Use Toveya with very, very powerful words. Very strong. You would never imagine the Rambam. Mamish, chopping up this guy into chopped meat. Why didn't you inquire after my tsar? And it's a very powerful letter. And the Rambam is the Rambam, you know. Every word the Rambam says is Kodesh Kedoshim. And he digs into him. He really digs into him with very big complaints. And from that you learn, I guess that's why I put this letter in the book, from that you learn how important it is to be Menachem Avol. I know someone told me that they went to Menachem Avol, and the person, Arayom Azaz, tainus on them, why they only came to the base Avol once. is a close friend. I lost someone. You should have been here every day. Every day you come in Menachem Avil once. Once you just come in here and you sit down and you look at me and you talk a few minutes. You talk. There's some pictures and some narishkeit. And you say, "I'm walking Menachem Avil." Blah, 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 and you get up and you run out. And that's it. That's how you Menachem Avil me. You should have come here a few times. Come back every day. It's not true. Someone you're very close with. You're very close with. You don't just go once. You go a few times during that week. It's a big avoda. I had a friend. I had a friend. He passed away. Young guy, 30. He was 32 years old. Died a couple of years ago. His name was Menashe. I can't pronounce his last name. It's a Russian, long Russian name. And he wasn't so well. And it was a big horror. He was nifter. So when they were maspid him, they said about him that when someone in the yeshiva was sitting at Shiva, he came every day. Ar Yitzhak. Remember Menashe?
Yeah, yeah.
Menashe?
Yeah.
So when he was nifter suddenly. Whatever happened, face. He wasn't so well. And when they were maspid him, and it's taka true, I remember. When someone in the yeshiva was an Avelus, he went every day. And not only that, certain people, he brought them candy. Every day he brought another package of candy. I don't know, I got the money for this. And like, who does that? Who does that? Who has such sensitivity to someone else? They're an Avelus. Every day. Nochamo. Not just for the minion. Even if he doesn't come to the minion, because he has to go to work. Just done. I come in every single day to see how you're doing during the Shiva. It's unbelievable. The Ribbono Shel Olam does that. Okay, all of the people, Rachman Lassan, they lose a relative, so new, yeah, Hamakim Yenachem, and they move on. Who comes every single day? Hashem. Hashem is the Avi Yisaimin. Hashem is the Dayan Almanos. Hashem comes every single day. I'm always there for you. Hashem takes over for real, not just partial. All right, tomorrow I wanted to get to the Shaduchim Hashem, Moshe, Yechid, and Baisel after that tomorrow.
We're gonna have a mock Shabbat.
A what?